Seculo, Iran unveils a second underground missile. And the United States? The sanctions? They're not being put in place.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Yesterday, from the podium, you called on both Saudi Arabia and Iran to de-escalate their conflict. Is there any evidence that those calls have been heeded today?
Well, positions or announcements that may be planned by the Iranians or Saudis, I'd refer you to them.
Certainly, de-escalation today is what I'm asking.
Well, again, I haven't heard any new announcements from them that would appear to inflame or escalate the situation. But we believe that we've got a strong case to make when we can go individually to the Saudis, with whom we have a close and strong relationship, but even when we're making a case to the Iranians, with whom we do not even have official diplomatic relations, that it is within their interest to try to change the path that they're currently on. And we won't be able to judge within 24 hours whether or not that message will be received or adhered to. But we're certainly hopeful that they'll get the message or at least arrive at that conclusion.
Today, Iran unveiled a new underground missile bunker and promised to speed up its ballistic missile program, a show of defiance to the U.S. as it scraps sanctions under the nuclear deal, and to Saudi Arabia, where an escalating fight between the two countries threatens to derail U.S. policy throughout the region.
We should be involved aggressively in new sanctions imposed on the regime, not just with companies that are doing business with them, but bona fide sanctions on the regime itself. Guess what? The regime, the Iranian regime, pushed back on that through their foreign minister, and that is what has caused the United States to pause after announcing they were going to do something, to pause and not do anything.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, this should not come as any great shock, but here's what you got. Iran unveiled a new underground missile depot yesterday with state television. So this wasn't something that was uncovered. This was something that the Iranians put out to be seen by the world. It included precision-guided missiles, which the United States said can take nuclear warheads, and it violates a 2010 UN security resolution. This defiant move comes on the heels of new sanctions being threatened against Iran. And it looks like those sanctions, even with this activity by the Iranians, has been blocked. Dan Bennett's our director of governmental affairs. He's in Washington, D.C. right now. Congress has to be outraged at this.
You know, I think two things, Jay. I mean, number one, I think it's pretty clear that Iran has no intention of complying with the deal, even though the terms of the deal or the agreement were very weak and very tilted in their favor. But then on the domestic side, Jay, I think it is just as clear that the United States has absolutely, or at least this administration, has no intention of snapping sanctions back if violations have happened. Because just this week, we've had two very major violations. The administration comes out through the Treasury Department with a proposal to snap those sanctions back in place. And it sure looks like a State Department-led effort pushed back on those sanctions, and they're now halted again.
So you ask yourself, whose side the president on here? I mean that. I'm not being pejorative. I mean, because here's the real problem. You've got the Revolutionary Guard, second in command, saying this last Friday. Iran's depots and underground facilities are so full that they do not know how to store their new missiles. This is coming from the second in command. This is after we engaged the Iranians, and we got nothing for it except Iran flexing its muscles. Whose side? Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
You can join us right now through many different sources. If you want to engage in the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Or join us on Facebook, Periscope, or on ACLJ.org. But join us, get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. Just go to Facebook.com/JSekulow.
All right, folks, here's what we're doing. We're also talking about the genocide issue. Right now, we'll get an update from Than on that. It's going to be the Foreign Affairs Committee that we're going to have to deal with on this. So there's a lot of moving parts. But why is the president not willing to do what the Congress, others within his administration are saying, to put sanctions on Iran? They're doing it again. Are we going to let them nuclearize? Which looks like what's going to happen. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, sign that petition on the genocide issue. I'll give you an update on the numbers on that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand up for Christians right now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls and comments. I want everybody to understand exactly and precisely what has happened. So we now know that there was another missile depot. The Iranians are bragging about it yesterday. They're saying they have so many, they don't even know where to hold them. In the meantime, the Treasury Department had proposed some additional sanctions, Stan, and let's get what that means. I mean, let's explain to people what Treasury put in place, and then I'm going to say what the consequences of this are, but I think it's important for people to understand what was put in place.
Well, Jay, there were sanctions that were actually required under the deal that the United States and the other nations struck with Iran. As part of the deal that they struck, that Iran still had to continue complying with instructions from both the United States and the United Nations. This instruction on ballistic missiles actually came from the United Nations, and Iran had to promise to not continue developing this type of missile. Well, not only did it continue doing it, but they videotaped the new missile in the new underground depot that they have, and they put it on the internet. So they're bragging about it. They're sticking their finger in the face of the United States. And what happened is that the Treasury Department, Jay, decided to snap back those sanctions as required under the agreement. They put that announcement out there. And what happened is the State Department, under the direction of the White House, called the Treasury Department and said, cancel those sanctions.
And this comes on the heels of the announcement by the— this wasn't, by the way, uncovered by UN investigators. This was bragged about on Iranian state television. I mean, that's how ridiculous and dangerous this whole situation really is. We're getting a lot of comments and a lot of calls coming in.
A lot of comments kind of chime in about, this one came in from Pastor Mike, said, Obama, this is what BB told you would happen.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of comments to that. Israel, a lot of people watched last night, the Frontline special.
Talk about that.
Netanyahu at war, which obviously, you know, it definitely shows both sides, but it may lean more one way or the other, but really well done. But it kind of showed this sort of concern overall from Israel about this issue with Iran,
right.
And you see the fact that the president essentially just wrote off Israel eventually at some point and said, I can't work with them. Instead, we're going to do this. And you had a point of view coming from Netanyahu and from Israel saying, you know, this isn't a political game at this point. This is the security of our country.
So let me tell you this also, and that's exactly why this— I'm not saying Saudi Arabia is some great country, but they are an ally of the United States. But that's exactly, Logan, what happened to them too. The Saudis felt like they could not trust the United States. So this is what you have in this situation. Now, the pushback has been pretty great. John Kirby, the former admiral from the Navy, is the spokesperson. He was pushed hard by AP's Mike Lee. Let's take a listen to two of them.
We are fully prepared to continue to use sanctions with respect to this most recent ballistic missile test. We are still working through some technical issues there, and I just don't have any sanctions to announce today.
Well, I understand that, but can you this at least idea address that we, what the technical issues are or address the claim that's being made by some that the State Department stopped these sanctions from being imposed because the Iranians objected to them?
What I will tell you is there continues to be a robust interagency discussion about moving forward on sanctions for this particular program, and that's about as far as I'm going to go.
I mean, you know, he's in a very not envious position to be in. And I think, Than, the consequences of this, we're taking your calls too, folks. What, you got to ask yourself, Logan pointed this out just now. Why is the president doing this? Why is he writing off Israel, writing off Saudi Arabia, writing off these countries we have a relationship with? Think about that. We've invited the Russians into the region. They have more of a relationship in some aspects than the United States. Now, that's overstatement. But the fact that that Benjamin Netanyahu was called to Moscow to meet with Netanyahu and with Putin before the attacks in Syria by the Russians tells you that the relationship is at least respectable. Not so much between the United States and Israel, and certainly not so much between the United States and Saudi Arabia. So ask yourself that question. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I'm asking, whose side's he on?
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to David. He's calling from Tampa, Florida, on line 3. Now there's another David. David in Newport Beach, you hold on. David in Tampa, you're on the air.
A lot of Davids today. All right, David, you're on.
Thank you, Jay. Yep. Listen, first off, the snapback on sanctions was always a farce. For those of us who do this for a living, we knew we couldn't do it. We were already in sanctions fatigue. Our partners were in sanctions fatigue. They were tired of fighting it in court.
Yep.
You can only make so much classified information discoverable, and that whole process has been burdensome. And now, even the GAO in an unclassified report said that sanctions were diminished in their effectiveness. But the problem is we all knew we wouldn't be able to snap back. We already played our hand. And our hand says we don't want to do this anymore.
Well,
and Europeans,
I think you're exactly correct, actually, in the sense that I think the administration's fatigued. They're trying to fatigue everybody else out. But do you remember the line? We don't have it. It was from a long time ago. Do you remember the "we need crippling sanctions against the Iranian regime"? I think it was by Secretary of State Clinton or President Obama. I can't remember who said it, but it's been a number of years ago. Crippling sanctions. The only reason the Iranians went to the table was because of sanctions. I mean, Than, we know that as fact, and we deal with this in Washington every day. That was fact. When we release that pressure, this is what you get.
Yeah, and David's absolutely correct. We said it at the time that the United States had no intention of snapping these sanctions back if the need came. You know, you played the sound from Admiral Kirby just a minute ago where he said that we are fully prepared to snap these sanctions back. Well, people need to understand exactly what happened here. The Treasury Department actually announced that snapback. The administration put the snapback procedure out there. It was not just something that was planned. They announced it, and then under pressure from the State Department, they pulled it back. This is the President of the United States overriding the apparatus that was in place and saying, under no circumstances will I go down this road.
I hope the American people understand what Than just said. The Treasury Department, under their existing regulatory regime, determined that sanctions were appropriate here. We had the ability to do the snapback. And the White House blocked it through the State Department. And what does John Kerry have to say about that, I'd like to know. We're taking more of your calls and comments. You got comments coming in also by Periscope and Facebook.
Yeah, we have
well.
A comment coming in right now. This is from Bear 70 on Periscope. He said, what does the Congress say? Where is the Republican leadership at this point?
Well, no, in passing resolutions. I mean, these are not things that are not passing. They're already in place then. It's not, they're just being stymied.
These were sanctions
yes.
that were in place from the United Nations. The administration had an obligation to enforce.
Yes.
But I'm here to tell you, I mean, we've talked a lot this week, Jay, about the House Foreign Affairs Committee because they're engaged in this genocide effort.
Right.
Well, this is now squarely in their portfolio as well. So this is added to the agenda of what we are asking them to look at. I think the House needs to again put those sanctions on the president's desk, again force his hand. They shouldn't have to, but now they're going to have no choice.
Let me say this also to our listeners on radio stations across the country, on terrestrial radio, on satellite radio, Facebook and Periscope, those that are on our website right now. You know how many people have signed that petition on genocide in 3 days? 73,000 in 3 days. Now, when Than was at that meeting Monday, just 48 hours ago, I was hoping we would get to 25,000 by that night. We're at 73,000. And ask yourself this question. They won't go after the Iranians. They will not let the governments, the UN, do its job even. Yet, at the very same time, right now as it stands, Christians will not be listed as part of the genocide that's going on by ISIS. Now ask yourself why. Why in the world would that be the case? Why would you not list Christians as part of the genocide? What's the agenda there? I'll take your calls and comments about that at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab another phone call.
Sure, we did have a thought came in from Kyle. We'll take a phone call in just a moment, but I thought this was interesting. Kyle said, do you think if Iran and Saudi go to open war, where will our alliances be?
Yeah. You know what? That was a really good question.
Kyle Williams on Facebook.
Should be Saudi Arabia, whose military we've been backing for 50 years. That shouldn't even be an option. I mean, that shouldn't even be a close call. Now, if you're asking me what would happen under this administration, I'll give you my view first. I'll tell you, and then I'll let Than speak. I think this administration would stay out of the conflict. But by releasing the sanctions, we've emboldened and enabled Iran to do what they're doing. Than?
They might sit it out, Jay, but I can tell you what they absolutely will not do. They will not engage against Iran. It has become increasingly clear that the president has made a calculation. His first priority when it comes to foreign affairs is standing behind this Iran deal, and he will do nothing to circumvent that. He will not engage against Iran.
I think it's as tragic as it is. I think that's reality. We have time for one more call before the break or not. A little close.
We can see if I can pull up a comment with you. Here.
All right, so Logan will get another comment. Let me tell you a couple things we need you to do, folks. We're going to be taking a break. Go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition on listing Christians in genocide. We're right now at just shy of 74,000 probably with phone calls, maybe even close to 75,000. So I encourage you to do that. Do that at ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
Yeah, a quick comment from Carol on Facebook who said, what will the consequences be if we sit by idly by and let this all happen?
I think what we're going to have to do is Congress is going to have to engage here. I don't think we have an option because the consequences of this is going to be Iran. We had reports yesterday that North Korea launched a hydrogen bomb. Okay, that ended up not being correct. Although there was some activity, it wasn't but we're acting like, oh, well, that's normal. None of this is normal. And it's the weakness of the United States that is unfortunately putting this out. And I think what we have to do, and I really want to encourage our listeners to do this, stay engaged in these issues. When we're talking about these issues, we're giving you live reports. But remember this, Than was in those meetings. He was in those meetings on Capitol Hill on Monday. We're going to give you more on the details of that when we come back from the break. We'll take more of your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget to call us at ACLJ.org. Sign that petition. I really think, Than, we could be at 100,000 here for you by the end of the month, end of the week. Originally, I did say the end of the month, but I think by the end of the week, we could be at 100,000. So ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Than, how important is it for this to be engaged? Because we got to go to that committee. Only got about 10 seconds here.
Absolutely critical because they are setting their priorities for the year ahead today and tomorrow.
All right, folks. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand Up for Christians Right Now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Came in during the break and right before we went to the break about how does Saudi Arabia feel about all this? Not so good. Listen to this between James Rosen, our friend from Fox News, and Josh Earnest from the White House.
Why should the Saudis be satisfied to hear the United States speaking with such studied neutrality about the blame that is to go around? Why shouldn't the Saudis rather expect that the United States will behave like an ally in this situation of the Saudis?
Well, James, there's no denying that the United States has a much stronger and more effective relationship with Saudi Arabia than with Iran. But there's also no denying that Saudi Arabia's human rights record is something that has been a source of significant concern on the part of the Obama administration and previous administrations as well.
So are we saying that the Iranians' record on human rights is even better? I mean, is that possible that we're saying that? That the record of human rights in Iran is much better than Saudi Arabia, which is not good, by the way, but they are an ally. I mean, you got to think through this to the next level, and that's what's missing in all of this.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to David, who's calling from Newport Beach, California. David, welcome to JSEC here live. You're on the air.
Hey, David.
Hey, guys. You know, the main question I'd have is just following the money. It's a simple thing. And what I wanted to ask you is, in the sanctions, the original sanctions, they were going to release the billions of dollars that were held in assets of Iran. Has that all been released, or is that being trickled out, and is there the ability to at least freeze those assets again?
Well, it's not really trickled, because it's trade relations that are going to increase. Then as the details on that, but I will tell you, this was when that pressure was removed, even before the money was released, it changed the whole dynamic of strengthening the Iranians, because now they knew they could do business. So the Russians came in, all these other groups came in. Dan?
Yeah, they have received the vast majority of the benefits from those sanctions being released already, because when they get released. But I would say this, on this snapback provision, Treasury could have reinstituted
it. Let's explain snapback provisions for people. I want people to understand what we're talking about here.
So if Iran violates any number of requirements under either existing UN sanctions or under the joint agreement that was passed, they could reinstitute or snap back various sanctions. This was one of them. It had to do with the development of ballistic missiles. Iran has clearly violated that. I don't think anyone, even the White House, would object to that. They put it on a video. They put it on the internet. The evidence is very clear. They violated that requirement under a UN sanction. Therefore, the Treasury Department was required to implement or re-implement these new sanctions. They started to do that, and that's when the White House pushed back. Now, to the caller's question, would it reimpose that or pull back some of the money or the trade relief that was released? No, it would apply going forward. However, it was a requirement that it be put back in place, and the White House has stopped it.
Let me tell you what else the White House has done. So this will be in the second half hour of the broadcast. Spying on Israel during the Iranian negotiations, and that included members of the United States Congress. So that's what the administration decided to do. Congress is seeking to investigate why the Obama administration was spying on Congress in discussions with Israel. And that was all regarding the Iran nuclear talks, the Iran deal, as it's called, although we know that there is no deal whatsoever. There is no deal. We're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go back to the phones, take one more call for this segment. Let's go to Reverend Randy, who's calling in Chicago, Illinois. From Chicago, Illinois, Randy, you're on the air.
Hi, Randy.
We gave Randy quite an intro for him not to be there. Is that Randy, are you there? All right, let's move on. Jim, Decatur, Texas, are you there?
Yes, sir.
You're on
all
the
right.
air.
Jim, all you right. got that. You're the winner. Go ahead.
You know, I just noticed that it seems as though there's been an arm's distance kept between Christians and the presidency.
Yep.
And ISIS has talked about raising a black flag on the White House. In regards to Obama, he seems to be favoring
everything. Well, he has certainly taken, I mean, here's what I will say, Jim. Here's what I say. He has certainly taken positions that are so contrary to what we all would understand is the best interest of the United States, let alone our allies, that you ask yourself, what's the agenda? But I think the agenda, I don't think it's that sinister. I think it's bad, but I think it's. I don't think he's hiding it. I think this is his worldview. So this isn't like the president sneaking around trying to curry favor with the Iranians. I think this is how he views it. I think this is how he views his legacy, and this is how he views the whole issue of how we should be dealing in the Middle East. I don't think this is hidden. I think this is out front, just like the Iranians with the weaponry was out front. But this, I think, is who he is, Stan. That's my view.
It's an agenda of appeasement, but to an extremely dangerous level. And I would just point out two examples. I mean, the Iran deal is one of them. He wants this to be his legacy beyond his administration,
yep, no
and it really seems to be the only thing he cares about. And number two, Christians in the region, none of us can argue that they are being targeted with genocide, and he is refusing to adjust his policies in a way that would protect them. And the only reason he's doing that, Jay, is because it would trigger requirements on him that would cut against that appeasement narrative and would require him to do things that he is not willing to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Let's go with any – do you want to take a comment, or do you want to go right back to the phones?
Yeah, we can take a comment. Some people are maybe just trying to work everything out about how this all works. They said, did he sign an executive order, an executive action? How did this – come into
right,
play.
So,
that was from Brad on Facebook.
Yeah. So this was the snapback provisions were exactly as Stan described. Something happens that automatically goes into effect. He had the State Department block it. So Stan, there's not a piece of paper per se, and directive came down from the White House to the State Department.
Yeah, the Treasury Department, what happened is they start to promulgate these regulations as required under that Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, which is the technical term for the agreement that we passed with Iran. So that really starts inside the bureaucracy, Jay, and you get into some of this in the book Undemocratic, but it's sort of an automatic process that starts moving forward, and it got all the way to the point where the Treasury Department announced that proposal as required under that agreement, and the White House at that point, I think, became aware of it and directed the State Department to push against it. So the process sort of got to a point where it caught the White House's attention, and they actually told one of the other agencies under its control to stop doing what it was supposed to do.
And this is the real problem with the whole situation. So this was an automatic response from our agencies, stopped by the White House. That's what happened. Let's take another caller before the break.
All right, William's calling from Los Angeles, California. William, welcome to JSecio
Live. Hey, William, go ahead. Real quick, please.
How you all doing? Just real quick, I think it's absolute ignorance and stupidity on the UN and our president and Congress to neglect the Christians as being genocide. And it's really a shame because, you know, we're not learning from history, but repeating the stupidity of Bill Clinton and that Congress not doing anything about genocide in Rwanda.
Well, I think you're right. We've got a great piece up on our website, ACLJ.org, by Professor Harry Hutchison from George Mason University. He was on the broadcast yesterday talking about this. Samantha Powers herself, our UN ambassador, has a whole dissertation on genocide. It is Christian genocide, and nothing's happened to stop it. So we're working on that right now. We'll let you know, again, in just a few moments, exactly how you can help on that. We appreciate the call. Let me say this. Nick Peeks has been our chief engineer on this radio broadcast for 10 years. We're working on the broadcast for 10 years, and he's been a chief engineer for the last long time. And he has been called to the church work, to ministry work, not that this isn't, but in the church capacity. So we're going to be saying goodbye to Nick. Logan, can you pan over for our friends on Facebook and Periscope, and Nick can wave? So Nick, this is his last show today. Of course, we'll be here for another 30 minutes, but his last show today. I want to thank Nick for his dedicated service to the ACLJ. We worked with Nick when we were all living in Virginia Beach, when I was going Virginia Beach to Washington, and then as the media center developed, he came down here, which we appreciate, and now heading off to Florida to our church in Florida. So again, we want to thank Nick for his years of service. Folks, let me encourage you to do this. We'll take more of your calls, but the genocide issue is for real, and we are getting a huge response. We are pushing just online about 74,000 people right now that have signed this petition. Join it right now, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org, the easiest way to sign it, or 1-877-989-2255. And we appreciate your support. Great month of December. Continue our support in January. You can do that at ACLJ.org as well. Back with more in a moment.
The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom, we will fight.
We're talking about Iran. Iran announces on state television, by the way, we've got a new missile silo violating UN sanctions. The United States Department of the Treasury is about to do the snapback provisions on the sanctions. White House says, don't do it. The Saudis are saying, well, whose side are you on? And at the same time, Congress is not so happy because guess what? When all the discussions with Iran were going on the nuclear deal, the one that, you know, we didn't actually sign any papers, we didn't have the Iranians sign anything for, you know who they were spying on? The Israelis? Yeah. But you know who else? The United States Congress. How's that sitting up there in Washington, D.C. right now?
Not too well. I mean, especially since there is a ironclad requirement that information be removed, Jay. I mean, if the administration wants to know names of people who engaged or in a policy debate like this, they actually have to ask for them. They didn't do that in this case. In fact, it sure looks like they stayed silent and let those names trickle into the White House. So this is going to be an issue in the weeks ahead. I think you're going to see hearings on this.
There should be, because listen to this conversation between Terrence Jeffrey at CNS News Service and Admiral Kirby.
Last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that some administration officials saw intelligence reports that at least referenced communications between members of the U.S. Congress and Israeli officials, particularly regarding the Iran nuclear deal. Did Secretary Kerry see, read, or was he briefed on any intelligence reports that mentioned members of the United States Congress?
I won't talk about intelligence matters from the podium.
Or confirm that he did.
I simply will not talk about intelligence matters from the podium.
Was the Wall Street Journal story accurate?
I'm not going to get into intelligence matters.
Yes, the Wall Street Journal was accurate. I mean, we all know it was accurate. Spy on ISIS, okay? Go out, spy on Boko Haram. Spy on Al-Qaeda. Don't spy on members of Congress dealing with our allies. You got our allies a little bit nervous right now, I would say. They've done a successful job of getting our allies really nervous. All right, we're going to take more calls and more comments, Logan. Let people know how they can call us.
Sure, you can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110 since we're done with the first half hour. We got a lot of lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. They'll fill up any second, so get your call in now.
Yeah, get your call
in. Did get a comment in that I think would be good to take. This is from Liberty Cast on Periscope, who said, it seems like allies have sadly perhaps spied on each other forever, though.
Well, there has always been. Look, there's been spying on allies is nothing new. I will agree that spying on members of the United States Congress, pretty Orwellian, fan. I mean, that is not something you see.
Or Nixonian, maybe.
Nixonian, I think.
Yeah. Rather than, you know, make the case to the Congress and to the American people about the policy matter at hand, he decided to spy on those who were involved in that situation. And, Jay, I would just say this. I mean, we're not just talking about the other party here. You remember when that discussion was happening? There were plenty of Democrats that had concerns about this. So I don't think this is going to be something that is just lost in a partisan fight. I think you're going to see Republicans and Democrats come out and be very vigilant about their right to engage in policy matters where they have a say. This was certainly one of them. And if he had information about conversations that they were having with the Israeli government and didn't tell them about it, that's going to be a big problem.
It should be a big problem. All right, we'll take more calls, more comments at 1-800-684-3110. Can we grab one in right before the break here, Logan?
Caller.
Yeah.
Either one. All right, let's do John's calling from College Park, Washington.
Hey, welcome. Hey, John.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for all the good work that
Thank you.
I think what we've done is taught the Iranians they can violate the nuclear deal and nothing will happen.
I think that's exactly right. There's no consequences for bad behavior here. Fan?
We said that Iran had no intention of complying. We said that the United States had no intention of enforcing. After this week, Jay, I don't think anybody can argue with those 2 points.
No consequences to bad actors gives you bad results. Let me say it again. No consequences to bad actors give you bad results. And that's what we're seeing in the greater Middle East right now, a region in absolute turmoil. We're taking a break. We're taking more calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Want your comments. By the way, I encourage you, and this is important, sign that petition, which is growing. We are just shy, just online signatures right now, just shy of 74,000 signatures. Let's get that up to 74,000 by the time we come back from the break. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Logan's going to let you know how you can engage with the program.
All right, yep. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Or you can join us on Facebook and Periscope to get your comments in. Facebook, just go to the Jay Sekulow's Facebook page, easily facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. You'll see the latest post is a live video. Click play. You'll see us right here in the studio, be a part of the show, as well as on Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand up for Christians right now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So North Korea, they're igniting bombs. The Iranians, they're saying, well, they got stuff to, they've got more bombs than they can handle. The Saudis are saying, hey, we got to do something here. This is getting to be a dangerous, it's already a dangerous part of the world. We don't know who our allies are anymore. And the United States, here's their response. That's about it. That's the United States response on this, which I think is pretty drastic. All right, let's take some calls and comments.
Yeah, let's go take a comment. We had a comment actually as we're lying to last. We talked a little bit earlier about the special that aired last night on PBS.
Tell everybody what about, it was.
It was called Netanyahu at War. It was a Frontline PBS special. I believe it was an hour and a half. We watched it last night, my wife and I. It was really, really well done. Though you may find things you disagree with it, but one of the sort of overarching statements that was from both sides, whether it was from, you know, David Axelrod or people who on all points, is that essentially this administration has gotten to the point where they've just written off Israel as someone that they can talk to, written off specifically Bibi Netanyahu, but in general, just Israel when it comes to the little things, starting when he did the tour of the Middle East and didn't stop in Israel too, all the way till recently, obviously, with the Iran deal.
Yeah.
You know, what are your feelings of that? Has the administration, more than probably any others, just said, okay, we're not even going to deal with Israel?
This has been the most hostile administration when it comes to Israel that we've seen in our lifetime. Having said that, it's not just Israel they're being hostile to. I mean, we need to recognize this. They're being hostile to, they were hostile to Egypt. Remember, they were supporting Mohammed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood leader. They did not support al-Sisi when the 40 million Egyptians went to the streets of Egypt to get rid of the Mohammed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a significant situation. But so they're isolated Israel. They don't, you know, deal with the Egyptians. Now the Saudis are angry. So our allies don't trust us, and our enemies don't fear us. So this is a situation we have to be very concerned about. And there is a bit of breaking news that's coming in right now.
You probably should take from here.
All right, so if do we have this confirmed?
It's on page 4 in the news.
Yeah. So, okay. Fox News and Sky News are reporting that ISIS has a technical lab working on heat-seeking surface-to-air missiles. The reason that is significant is the primary military engagement against the ISIS forces have been the Air Force. I mean, that's been, you don't have a lot of ground troops. So this is becomes very significant in that regard. And I think, look, we're going to watch this, but both Fox are reporting it. Fox is saying that they got footage of the weapons in a lab in Raqqa, Syria was obtained, Raqqa, Syria was obtained by Sky News and shows that ISIS scientists, you have to understand that's significant too, that they've got working scientists managed to produce a homemade thermal battery for use in surface-to-air missile systems. They had previously been thought impossible for terror groups without any military infrastructure to accomplish. That's why I said in our book, Rise of ISIS, ISIS operates more as a state. They are different than Al-Qaeda, and we need to treat it differently than Al-Qaeda. What have you heard in the news over the last 2 weeks about the war against ISIS? Not a lot. Not a lot. And this is the problem. No leadership, you get these results. Let's take a phone call.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Jetta, who is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Jetta, welcome to JSIQ Live.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Commenting about Congress not even addressing Netanyahu.
Right.
Those of us that are trying to, be educated, we're losing hope because we know what's going on. No one's addressing our concern. And then executive orders, distract from the actual, what we would like to have being handled.
Well, here's what you got. I don't lose hope, because if you look at the executive actions, I've said this repeatedly, I'm going to say it again. We, on the two major ones the president put forward, we've won both. We stopped them. Dead in the track. Stopped. The one on immigration, which was basically an amnesty plan, and the stacking of the National Labor Relations Board, which had a huge impact on business and development. Stopped them both. President overreached. His executive overreach, we've stopped. Now, is it distracting? Well, yeah, it's distracting, but our job as lawyers is that we have to engage these issues as they come up. President made a big announcement about, a supposedly big announcement about gun control issues. When you really looked at what was proposed, there wasn't a whole lot there. So that didn't get much coverage. Why? Because it was existing laws, really, that were already in place. So I think this is part of what we have to do. But, Jetta, do not lose hope. And Than, from Washington, D.C., you got to understand, we are engaging these issues firsthand. So we're not just talking about them, we're engaging them.
Well, there are two things here, Jay. I mean, first of all, one of the things that we have always preached is that you look for the opportunities where you can engage and make an impact. And you can absolutely do that even in an environment like this. You mentioned the immigration executive action and also the NLRB one. In both those cases, we had a significant impact. But the second point here is you don't get discouraged. You actually go do something about it. And while there are points of engagement, there are other real ramifications of elections. And the president ran on this policy agenda, Jay, and he is trying to implement it now. If you don't like it, you need to go out there and elect someone with a set of agenda items that you do agree with.
Well, I think what we have to understand is that elections have consequences, and this is part and parcel of it. Let's take another comment or another call.
So let's go to a phone call. Let's go to Shirley, who's calling from Lebanon, Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to JSIQ Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
Hey.
Is this administration playing both sides against the middle? I mean, we've got the president doing everything to support Iran, and yet we've got the conflict in Syria where he's asking for Assad to be removed, who
right.
Iran supports. And then we have a coalition of Sunni Muslims fighting against ISIS. So it's like he's playing all sides and nothing is getting done.
Well, I think he's trying to be the appeasement president. Didn't work too well for Neville Chamberlain, and he had a better excuse than President Obama did. I mean, Neville Chamberlain tried the whole appeasement approach on the forefront as World War II was developing. His excuse was the English military had been devastated in World War I. I mean, they won, but the price of that was huge. So having another conflict at that level 15 years later wasn't something that the Brits were ready for. And by the way, I think it was a horrible excuse, and the fact is you needed a Winston Churchill to change it. But the president doesn't have that excuse. We've got the strongest military. Does anybody that's listening to us or watching us on Facebook or Periscope on our website believe that the United States can't take out ISIS? I mean, does anybody believe that? No. But we don't let our soldiers fight. And when you don't let them fight, this is what you get. By the way, a lot of administrations, that's not just Democrats. Republicans have been guilty of that, too. You got to let us engage the enemy, period. Let's take another call or comment.
All right, let's take one more call before we go to break. We encourage you all to call 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment of the show, we'll make sure we get to every call that we can. Again,
1-800-684-3110.
We'll Judy, though, is calling from Orlando, Florida. Judy, welcome to JSIQ Live.
Hi, Judy.
Hello. Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I'm trying to share my insight with what you're asking. Why is Obama not including the Christians on the genocide list?
Yep.
And my impression is that if he did, wouldn't underneath the Geneva Convention, wouldn't he then have to allow Christian refugees into our country, which he's not doing right now?
Well, and you'd have to provide for, there's been one. When they talk about the Syrian refugee crisis, one Christian has been, one family's been reported in the United States. Look, there's a whole series, Judy, of events that transpire if, in fact, you designate someone is subject to genocide, not only the international tribunals, but also aid in the region. And then that would be a major thing. I think the president really is taking the view right now that, hey, Christians, can they're given the opportunity most of the time to convert. So why would that be a big deal? I really think that's what they think.
I think you're right, and I think Judy's on the right track
here. As sick
here.
As that is, by the way. You can convert, and then you're not subject to genocide.
Well, and there are two issues that are related here on the refugee point. I mean, this one should happen, Jay, even before a designation of genocide. I mean, that program should be altered and adjusted to meet the victims of the people that are in need of refugee status, and that certainly includes Christians. The State Department has refused to adjust that program. But second, if the designation of genocide was granted, it wouldn't be so much bringing people to the United States. It would be an obligation to return them to their homeland, which would mean removing ISIS. That's what the president doesn't want to do.
He just does not want to engage ISIS. I think that's abundantly clear. Logan, we have time for one more question quickly here.
We may have time for a quick comment. One person just said, a lot of people are chiming in, we could eradicate ISIS in a month or less if allowed. Let our troops get rid of ISIS. The one person asked, once he's out of office, you know, how does that? Are these relationships destroyed?
Yeah. So this is the great. No, you can rebuild the relationship. So the next president that comes in can rebuild the relationship with Israel. And right now, if you look at the Republicans and Democrats, frankly, on both parties, I don't think anybody would have the negative relationship with Israel that President Obama has had. I mean, that whether you're Democrat or Republican, I think this is, and it's very dangerous for us. Also, we have institutional interests to protect in the region. A strong Israel is good for the United States of America. It's good for our national security. A supportive Saudi Arabia, as difficult as that can be at times, is better for the United States than a Saudi Arabia that doesn't trust us. Same thing with Egypt. So this, I think all of this, part and parcel, plays into this lack of trust. But look, elections have consequences, but things can change radically. I don't want anybody leaving the broadcast today without hope. I mean, I know we've been, this week, we're dealing with a difficult issue. You're talking about genocide. But we've got to have hope, and we've got to keep fighting back. So let me encourage you to do a couple things. Go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Sign that petition. I'm going to look at the number right now to see where we are. We are over 74,000, so we could end the day maybe over 75,000, certainly. So I encourage you to do that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Continue to support the work of the ACLJ. We couldn't do it without you. ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air,
give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Tim, we got some lines open. We'll do a rapid fire round.
Yep.
So every call that comes in the next few minutes during the break, we will take all of them during the next segment. So again, 1-800-684-3110. Americans'
freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, and torture Christians. The brutal toll of nearly 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. Yet, President Obama refuses to recognize the genocide against Christians. He's pressuring the State Department to deny endangered Christians critical legal protections from ISIS's slaughter. The ACLJ is fighting back, aggressively advocating for vital international legal protections for Christians. We've mobilized our offices on Capitol Hill and across the globe, filing crucial legal documents to protect persecuted Christians from ISIS genocide. Stand Up for Christians Right Now. Sign on to our new petition to recognize the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
I always see that. I hear that now and I think of the Sandals commercial. That's from Nick Peakes. This is his last segment of his last broadcast as chief engineer at JSecula Live. He's been with us for 10 years, as I said. We're going to miss Nick. We're glad he's been with us for this long. We wish him and praying for his family as they move to Florida. To where in Florida, Nick?
Daytona.
Are you going to the resort?
All inclusive.
Inclusive. To a church?
Yes, sir.
As a youth pastor?
Yes, sir.
How about that? You don't have to say, sir. It's nice, though. He's Southern. Non-Sandals youth pastor. All right, we're going to do a rapid-fire round. That's what we, again, thank Nick. Yep.
That would be a good gig. All right, let's go back to the phones as we're taking calls in. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Linda, who's calling from Oklahoma City. Oklahoma, welcome to JSecula Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Linda.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
All right. I've got a very serious concern. As you well know, the CARE organization. Are you familiar with
them? The Council of American Islamic Relations.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay. They are in all 50 states.
I know.
Here in the United States. And as of last year, I have noticed here in Oklahoma that they've had the red carpet welcome mat at the Oklahoma State Capitol with celebrating the first Muslim day.
Yeah. You know, they're an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation cases. CARE is an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation cases. So my patience for CARE is zero. And, you know, they come out and they try to play moderate, but they're not moderate. We know that for a fact. All right, let's take some more. Appreciate your call, Linda. Let's get some more calls. 800-684-3110. Rapid fire round here.
All right, John in Boston, Mass. You're on the air, John. Welcome to JSecula Live. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, John.
How you doing? Let me get to this real quick.
Two questions
in one. How come ISIS hasn't attacked Israel, and is it because the Snowden report is true about ISIS being created by the CIA?
No, ISIS was not created by the CIA. What is true is that ISIS is afraid of Israel. In other words, they've in the region, John, their great enemy, where they would not only meet their match, but be devastated, would be the unrelenting forces of the Israeli Defense Forces. Which, by the way, could have been the United States, too, if we would allow unrelenting force. But they know that going into Israel directly will be the end of ISIS because they cannot compete and they will not be able to compete with that military. Nor could they compete with our military if we actually engaged. But no, this is, and ISIS was not created by the CIA. They were created by a vacuum. And the vacuum was we left the region, we left Iraq, we didn't have a status of force agreement, and you allow a caliphate to establish, and that has had disastrous consequences.
Let's continue on, get as many calls in as possible. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Connecticut online, too. Bill, welcome to JSecula Live. You are on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Okay, thanks for the show and all you're doing. My question is regarding Saudi Arabia and how we maintain them as an ally, even though they're very strict about prohibiting any Christian cross or church in their entire country upon pain of death. Just wanted to see what you might comment about that.
Well, you know, our friend John Schlitt, who's one of the lead singers in our band, actually went to Riyadh and performed in a church and did a worship service because they do allow some churches, they had to be state authorized, but he did a full worship service in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So it's not. I mean, it's still not religious freedom. Look, I mean, it's not. But they did allow that. So I don't want to. The Saudi. I'm not saying the Saudis, by the way, are good. The way they operate are good. I mean, they look. A lot of the 9/11 attackers were from Saudi Arabia. Bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's where the family ties are. But the fact is, they're an ally of the United States, and that in and of itself creates the issue. Interesting. The German journalist who spent 10 days embedded with ISIS, Jürgen Todenhofer, and this was a big report that came out in, I don't think it was The Atlantic or one of those magazines, said the only countries ISIS fears is Israel. They told the reporter that they know that the Israeli army is too strong for them. So that's why they're not going after Israel. They would lose.
All right, let's continue on. Lois is calling as well from Colorado Springs, Colorado. You're on the air, Lois.
Yep.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
Thanks for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you,
how you feel about, do you think that or attribute any of Obama's policy making today after having sat under Jeremiah Wright's teaching for 20 years?
Well, look, I mean, at this point, he's got to be responsible for his own positions. I mean, you know, look, I think this is his sympathies lied where Jeremiah Wright was preaching. That's clear. But at this point, with 7 years into a presidency, Than, he's responsible for his actions. Can't blame it on anybody. I mean, Lois, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think he should be able to blame this on anybody else.
Yeah, I think the motives are probably less important than where he actually is. And all the evidence says that he is a globalist that puts the interest of a peaceful, or not a peaceful globe, but sort of an equal globe ahead of American interest. And just quite frankly, that's not the job of the American president.
Yeah, and there's a difference between a globalist and an internationalist. So an internationalist is someone that understands that you got to, as a country, you have to engage in an international discourse. And you have to be part of the international community. A globalist is almost like, you know, we are the world, and, you know, let's all get together. And that's why I've always thought that his best, the job he'd like the most, and I have no evidence of this, would be UN Secretary General. I mean, that would be to him, I mean, to be the Secretary General of the United Nations, that'd be right up his worldview. Let me put it that way. That would be right where he's going. All right, comments.
Yeah, sure. We got a good comment from Charlotte. And I think this kind of can be expounded upon, who said, how can Israel and Saudi Arabia trust us when we don't even trust our own government? I think some of that has to do with, is the view from Israel, we know some of the view in Israel, and I'm not sure about the view in Saudi Arabia, that the president represents the nation at this point.
Yeah, the Israelis and the Saudis know that that doesn't necessarily mean he's reflective of everybody. We've got a very divided politic, but the president of the United States is just that. He's the president of the United States. So, of course, their trust factor is not there because the person that's controlling the chief executive, our commander-in-chief, is the president. So the policies of the president, which may not represent more than half the people, and generally in these elections, that's about what it is right now, have an impact on all of this. I want to do something a little bit different in these last 2 minutes of the broadcast. I want everybody on Facebook and Periscope to tweet Logan right now, or to not tweet,
comment
on Facebook and Periscope. Who is the candidate you're leaning towards the most right now? If everybody would do that on Facebook and Periscope, I'm just curious. Put in your candidate of choice. We'll stay after a few minutes and tally some of this. But I want to do that. I want to see how people are viewing this. Jessica on Twitter said she loved the quote, "Our allies don't trust us, our enemies don't fear us." Sums it up completely, what's happening in the U.S. and the Middle East. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. Again, a farewell to our colleague Nick Peeks. He's on his way to Florida to start a church ministry there, and we are going to miss him, and we're glad he's been with us for so many years in multiple locations, I might add. And we appreciated him. His journey of faith with the ACLJ started when we were basically operating out of Virginia, and now, of course, all over the world. So a lot has changed in 10 years, that's for sure. Again, support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate for that is great, and you have come through in December in a huge way. Again, thank you. Let me also encourage you that this is a good time to sign that petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Logan, you want to talk to the folks about how we're on the website now, too?
Sure, that's right. There's many different ways you can get us, as well as Facebook and Periscope, now on ACLJ.org. If you go directly to ACLJ.org, each and every day we're broadcasting live. You'll see a live streamed video of what's going on, not just behind the scenes like what we've done on Facebook and Periscope, but a produced television-style multi-cam shoot right here in the studio. Looks great. It's a great way to engage and to experience the show in a different way. Whether you're a terrestrial radio listener, a satellite radio listener, a viewer on Facebook or Periscope, we want to give, or now a viewer on ACLJ.org, we want to give you guys as many options to spread what we do here at the ACLJ in different venues and different styles.
So we are working on that, continuing our media outreach and continuing our work in the halls of Congress at the United Nations and around the globe. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.